Alright, hello and welcome to ATL Shotley Hoops. I am Robbie Cowan. Joining me as always is Bo Cherney. Bo, how you doing today?
I am fantastic as always, Robbie.
Excellent. We got done watching the misery that was Hawks-Lakers last night. The Lakers, the resurgence, the return, Swaggy P back. The offense looked borderline unstoppable in the first half. A lot of that was how bad the Hawks played on defense. It's funny, you know, I was going into that game ready to write about how bad the Lakers were, and then they go out and look good and ruin my plan.
I was the opposite. This is sort of like, this is always like a game like I see this. Like, oh, this is the game the Hawks are going to, they should easily win, and they're going to screw up somehow.
Sure.
It's just the Hawks always have that games. Like, oh, it's easy win, and then they, you know, give up like 60 something in the first half, and you're like, I'm like, how? What went wrong? Who hurt you? It's just that's. I mean, it was just really depressing loss. 1-9 team at home. Crowd chanting for Kobe.
Man, let's talk about Atlanta crowds for a minute. For those that don't know, actually, it's funny. They started, so Kobe went to the line in like the, it was either late first quarter, early second quarter. And so he goes to the line for the first time. And like, there's the ever so faintest of MVP chants coming from like a few people, but it never got going. And the saddest thing was, oh, I'm so proud of the crowd for not chanting MVP for Kobe. Because do you remember the game last year? When it was like, or 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. Yeah.
The Dante Jones game where he, you know, so maliciously attacked Kobe Bryant. I mean, they were cascading from the rafters.
Yeah, it was.
Like, it felt like we were at the Forum back in the 80s. It was insane. That's how loud it was from an LA perspective. And so last night, like, I was like, oh, it's not bad. And then I think it was the fourth quarter. We get like the loud Kobe chant, and I was like, ah, there it is. And you know, we talk. You know, you say, oh, it's a home game. Really? Like, it's a home game in the sense that they're playing at Phillips Arena, and they didn't have to travel. However, that was not a home game.
No.
And they rarely are when the Celtics, the Cavs this year.
I think they'll do fine against this. It just always depends who's on the Celtics.
Well, that's true, but I'm just saying, like, crowd wise,
the Bulls will be a split crowd.
The Bulls are a split crowd. The Knicks were actually, I was surprised that the Knicks weren't quite as Nick crowdy as usual. It's. The Heat weren't too bad. There are a lot of LeBron jerseys, which is like, come on, man. Like,
I was saying that game. It's just like, it was LeBron jerseys, and then you had Wade's. And I was like, I want whoever has the Bosh, I will like go up and shake their hands. Please tell me someone picked the Bosh.
Oh, dude, I saw the saddest jersey last night. Somebody had a knockoff Steve Nash Lakers jersey, which means you've made a lot of poor decisions on your way to get that jersey. Like, first you had to decide, I'm not going to get a real jersey. I'm going to get one where the letters on the back are, like, sewn on.
Man.
Like, they were, because they were way too big. Like, the letters were a good, like, 20, 30 font sizes too big. Like, it was bad. And they were clearly, like, stitched on. So somebody got
a 32 font Comic Sans on the back.
Yeah. It wasn't even the right font. So you've got, not only did you decide to get a bootleg jersey, which means you've stepped down the dangerous path, but you also have decided to get a Steve Nash Lakers jersey.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to get a bootleg jersey made, at least go for Kobe.
Yeah.
No? Like, don't half-ass a bootleg jersey and take the player who's crippled. Like, go for Kobe. Go for broke. Like, do you think people are going to be like, oh, well, you know, maybe it's a real Nash jersey. I've never actually seen one on the floor. So, did I cross a line?
Too soon.
Too soon? Sorry, Steve. I love Steve Nash.
I know.
I was there for the taking.
That was just... That came out of left field. I wasn't expecting it.
That was too easy. I mean, at least it wasn't a Boozer jersey. That's one thing. Like, anybody that's bought a Boozer jersey should be if you buy a Boozer jersey, they should immediately revoke your fan card from the Lakers. Like, no. Speaking of Boozer, you had, 20-10 last night because the Hawks are the Hawks.
All in, 12-foot jumpers.
Yeah, and he did it in, 25 minutes. He didn't do anything in the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter was vintage Kobe. Like, he would just walk it up and just start chucking. It was incredible.
Cephalosha's hand was in his... Playing pretty good defense, too, and Kobe was just...
Surprised, yeah. But, I mean, there's nothing you could do. Because the Hawks... Perfect. The Hawks, it was funny. Yeah, it was funny. At the end of the... Two separate times at the end of quarters, I think it was the first and the third, or maybe it was the first and the second, they tried to double Kobe. But for whatever reason, they sent Paro to double, and Paro's too slow to do anything. Doubling on a guard, that's not going to work. And so he couldn't recover in time, and both of those times ended up with Nick Young threes with, less than a second left.
You know, people, come off of Nick Young's probably their best three-point shooter.
Yeah, leave
Wesley Johnson.
Wesley Johnson's trash, by the way. He missed two free throws, two layups, and on one possession, three jump shots. I respect the hustle that he showed to get a couple offensive rebounds and get more jump shots, but I figured out, he shoots like a knuckleball. Like, it has no rotation. And so when it hits the rim, it just kind of floats off the rim. There's no chance for it to roll in. So if Wes Johnson doesn't completely switch, I think the only bucket he had was a dunk.
Hmm.
He actually finished with two hands, and but if he doesn't grab the rim, he doesn't finish. That was a David Kahn special from Minnesota. Wes Johnson over Boogie.
That's
good job.
One. Yeah,
that's good that job. One's good worse. Effort. I think that one's worse than the Johnny Flynn, to be honest. Like, Wes Johnson, Wes Johnson would have been a Hawks pick in, the mid-2000s.
Wingspan for days.
Like, just wingspan. He can't actually play basketball, but he has wingspan. Like, he looks pretty athletic and has long arms, so he's probably worth a top-three pick. I have no idea how these guys get through evaluations when they can't shoot and can't dribble. But it's like, ooh, pretty, he can jump. Like, have we not evolved past that in evaluations?
Apparently not.
No. Oh. Okay. So the Lakers are back for a game. Probably not for much longer because their defense is still atrocious.
And they play at Houston tonight.
It's not going to be good. That would be last night for when this goes up.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so, Paul...
If the Lakers prove me wrong, you can point back to this moment.
Exactly. Well, the last time that we did a podcast, they won the night. We recorded, and it ruined half of our stuff. So, who knows? Millsap torched Boozer as he should. But it
was Jeff Teague decided to start playing in the second half on offense.
Yeah, we never got the ball to Al Horford.
Who was finished,
Paro and Mike Scott took more than twice as many shots as Al Horford combined, the two combined.
They were good for 20, the two of them combined.
Rough. It's a rough night.
Yeah. Horford was, 7 for 8?
Yeah, he was good.
So he made more shots than they did in 12 less attempts.
He's just out there hooping, and they're not giving them the ball. It was bad. That's one thing I'd like to see Al be a little more assertive in demanding the rock. Because, he reminds me of those players that are, really good, but, he doesn't want to be that guy. Like, he doesn't want to be the guy that yells at his teammates. But
last night, the team probably could have used it.
On the team, yeah. Sometimes you need to tell Paro to sit his ass down and pass him the ball.
That was, I'm trying to remember what happened. It was like 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Pero took some stupid-looking shot with, like, I think, like, 15 left on the shot clock. And it's, like, as soon as you see him coming back down, you already see Al, like, walk into the scorer's table, and I feel like that was one of those moments. Like, saw it, got up, nope, done with this.
Yeah. And I know I know the Hawks are working Al back, but it's rough. Moving on to the last team the Hawks played before the Lakers, which was a shellacking in Cleveland, where they made their first 11 threes. Like, they regressed to the mean so good against the Hawks. Like, it was... Joe Harris is out here balling. Just balling. What the hell?
I don't know how to respond to how this game happened.
I didn't watch the game because, you know, I have to do mm-hmm. football on Saturday. But I was watching my Hawks list, and it was just complete befuddlement. Like, we know the Cavs are good.
Right.
They're better than, 5-4 right now? They're better than that.
We expect their offense to be really good.
And we expect the offense to be good. But 11 for 11 from 3? Come on. That was just stupid. Cleveland against Atlanta produced one of my favorite locker room moments. This was, I believe it was 2 years ago. I think it was Deion Waiters' rookie year. And they had just beat the Hawks on like a buzzer beater or something. And like they were not winning many games that year, but they had just beat the Hawks because that's what the Hawks do. And one of my buddies was helping get some audio for a Cleveland radio station, and I didn't really feel like being in the Hawks locker room, so we moseyed on down to the Cleveland locker room, and we're just standing there kind of waiting for some guys to get out of the shower to talk to, and Anderson Varejao comes running out of the shower in just a towel, screaming, "Somebody shit in the shower! Somebody shit in the shower!" Like, snapping a towel. And it's the most incredible thing ever. Because I don't know if somebody actually shit in the shower or not, or if Andy was just kind of messing with everybody.
I haven't gotten that story until you just told us.
Yeah, like, just imagine, like, Andy Varejao with a towel around his waist, with a wet fro running around, just screaming, "Somebody shit in the shower!" And, like, everybody's dying laughing. We don't know what the hell to do at this point, so, like, we go get some audio from, like, Dion or somebody. Good times.
That would have made great audio.
Good.
Yeah. That could have been our entrance music.
Every week, that would be our intro. So that's my favorite Cavs memory that I've witnessed in person. Hopefully you enjoy that. That's probably going to be the title of this podcast, by the way. It's going to be ACL Charlie Hoops. Somebody shit in the shower. Episode 2. So we're here for the people.
Yeah.
So Cleveland, you know, they'll be okay. I mean, they lost to the Nuggets, which was just miserable.
That was weird.
The Nuggets are terrible, too. Like, I don't get it. Which, like, the Cavs losing to the Nuggets, like, is proof that nobody should freak out about an early season loss to anyone.
Yeah.
So Hawks fans should not be spazzing out about losing to the Lakers. It happens.
It happened once. I expected it to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the thing, is like, it wasn't even all that surprising. Also, the Cavs apparently have Hulk Hogan at their arena tonight.
Sure, who is, why not?
Doing some random, like, he's traveling the NBA doing intros. He did the Warriors. I think he did something where, like, "What are you going to do when the Splash Brothers come for you, brother?" Like,
Wasn't he also supposedly, like, running their Twitter account? Like, they showed him, like,
at a laptop,
like...
Yeah, and I joked that, what you gonna do, brother, when Hulkamania runs wild on your upper press box? Like, they couldn't even get Hulk, like, lower level. Like, Hulk's up in, the hockey box. why not? So he's there, he's doing the Cavs thing, and it got me thinking, we talked a little bit before we came on about this. Like, it's really sad when you start seeing kind of your heroes or people that you love, like your sports idols or entertainment idols, icons growing up, start to prove that they have no money and start doing stupid things, and just becoming almost a parody of themselves or a bad... just catchphrase machine.
That's always going to be worse for someone like a wrestler like Hulk Hogan, whose essentially career is made off of making catchphrases.
Right, and like, when he's in a wrestling ring, it's supposed to be over the top and ridiculous, but you see him in the middle of an arena, it's just kind of sad.
I remember Chris Jericho said something on this, who's another wrestler. He's like, the best way to get your, like, character over is to, like, take your own qualities and, like, turn it up to 11. But yeah. He also mentioned that the thing is, sometimes guys don't know when to turn it back down from 11. So they just end up living their lives turned up at 11.
Which is 100% how...
That seems a waste of power, keeping it at 11 the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you gotta turn the thermostat down a little bit. Like, I imagine Hulk Hogan... like, walking through the grocery store, full-on Hulkster. Like, ripping his shirt when he finds a good deal. And, like doing a leg drop on somebody in aisle 9. Like, I feel like he just doesn't know how to...
And Hulk gives the big boot to the attendant.
Yeah, like, just drops the bag boy real quick. And just stands over him doing the little ear thing, like... you see a lot of commercials with guys, and like, I love the Icky Woods commercials. I get some cold cuts, and he does a little dance, but like, I've talked to people who find that sad, and it kind of is, because like, that's essentially what he's doing. Like, clearly Icky Woods is hurting a little bit for some cash, and so somebody called him and he was like, yes, please, sure, give me money. I find those commercials hilarious. I love that
commercial. I love that commercial, too.
But I have seen...
I get your point, yeah.
Who are like, that's a guy I used to really enjoy watching, and now he's spiking cold cuts on the ground and dancing about it. It's, you know...
Who doesn't love cold cuts?
I don't
know. Come on.
We know the Hawks media room does.
they love those cold cuts. Can the Hawks pay them? Him to come sing and dance in the media room when we have cold cuts.
I would love that.
I would support this.
Full support. Get on it, Hawks media people. Chop chop.
How much money do I have to support this idea?
Alright, let's move on.
Let's go back to basketball for a minute.
Well, let's take a little softer transition and there's some new Foot Locker commercials out. While we're talking commercials, that are absolutely wonderful. I can't tell they got two basketball ones. The one where James Harden talked about being defensive.
That one was brilliant.
It's amazing that he's willing to make fun of himself like that.
And that's what...
Because that's like the biggest knock on his game. It's not like the beard. Like, people poke fun at the beard. They've done that before with Anthony Davis. Or like, this is like borderline serious. Like,
and it's not like he's subpar on defense either. In the ring, oh, he doesn't play defense. It's kind of like, you're really bad at defense. You know that, right?
And he says that he's like, ask anybody. I don't get defensive, and it's pretty terrific. But it's also at the same time, I think Bomani tweeted about it. He was like, I don't know if this is the thing to laugh at yourself about. And it's kind of an interesting thing. Like, I enjoy the fact that he's willing to laugh about it. But at the same time, if you're a Rockets fan, like, Are you, like, psyched that he's making fun of his bad defense?
Or is it, like, a thing where it's like, oh, maybe he realizes that maybe he'll try to be better? Because it seems like he's done a little bit better this year. I will give him that when I've watched the Rockets.
Maybe he has. And, you know, maybe that is a good thing. Like, he recognizes it and he's doing something about it. But, like, oh, no, I really enjoyed that one.
I can totally see him being pissed off about that, too.
Yeah, like, I don't think anybody should really take a commercial like that too seriously, because it is just having fun. And then the Tim Duncan one's fantastic. Where, like, he's like, I'm jumping around the room with excitement.
I knocked a plan just over. And
then he just, like, softly, like, gently lays a plan on someone.
Derrick Rose, like, he never gets this excited.
So Derrick Rose is pretty quiet, dude. And we all know Tim Duncan is. I like to imagine them actually having phone conversations. Like, Derrick Rose actually calls Tim up about stuff, and it's just, like, 5 words and then 10 seconds of silence between. And then, like, another 5 words. Like, they don't actually talk. Like, if they did a podcast, it would be, like, 30 minutes and, like, maybe 50 words. just awkward silences, and they'd both be very happy with that.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, yeah, we thought we talked a lot. We did a great job. Yeah.
Good job. Good job. So we'll talk a little bit about some of these West teams. We'll start with Anthony Davis, Destroyer of Worlds.
I said
because he's terrifying.
He's been the best player in the NBA by far. Still.
A lot.
Like since the last podcast, like he had like a PER of like 34 or something, I think, when we last recorded, and now it's up to 36.
Which is ridiculously stupid. I don't like PER that much. I don't like small sample PER, but that is still absurd.
Right.
We are 10 games into the season, and he's doing.
Obviously, he doesn't play the same way, but no. He's essentially, like, his per-game average is essentially Hakeem numbers right now. Well, 25, 11, 2 assists, 2 steals, 4 blocks. Like,
you don't shoot over him. Like, you don't even bother. That game last night was so much fun with him and Boogie just going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got home from that Lakers debacle, and it was so refreshing to throw that on and see, like, actual basketball being played. If he starts shooting threes, like, if he develops that, like, Bosh Ibaka three, it's over. It's a wrap. Like, the dude has handles. Like, he can handle the ball on the perimeter.
Right.
Like, I mean, you don't want him running point. I mean, maybe you do, but... You probably don't want him. He's not your primary, but you get him in the high post. He can put somebody in the blender and get to the rim. Now all of a sudden you got to like close off airspace at the 3-point line. No sir.
Yeah, I mean it's already got a pretty like I guess not. I don't even know if I'd call it pretty good. It's a really good mid range jumper.
Yeah.
So it's not really as far to go to start adding like a corner three. You could probably do that this year if they really wanted to start calling that play out.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he's shooting 42% from 10 to 16 feet, and 39% from like 16 feet out.
I think that 10 to 16's above league average, and the other one might be too. I'm not sure.
And he shoots, and the weirdest one to me is like, it says here 3 to 10 feet is 57%, which is stupid. That means he's like hitting floaters and stuff.
Yeah.
And the little turnaround shot on the block. And it's like, what do you do with this dude?
HP Roundtable that they sent out earlier to us. It's like on a scale of 1 to LeBron's Anthony's been so far. And it's really hard for me not if the end of the scale is LeBron, he's been that. Like, he's been terrifyingly stupid at basketball.
Yeah,
and that's what Ron has been.
Essentially, I mean, you think about it, it's like... At this point, I mean, you expect some regression, like at some point, like
right.
He's not going to do this season.
He's not going to block 4 shots and steal 2 again the whole year.
Well,
I don't think he will. I'll regress a little bit.
Here's the thing, is like, the defense is the part that I'm not worried about going down. Like, if he stays healthy, I don't know where I think it's probably the shooting that probably, you know, he hits a cold spell. But, I mean... I just don't know what to do with him, because he's a vacuum on the glass. He's really crafty with how he gets his position for rebounds, too. I think the thing people expected with him coming in is, you know, he wouldn't be able to have the strength to position himself down there. But what he does really well is, because he's so athletic, he bends really well, so he gets leverage down there. Like, you see him, and he obviously has the spring to the bounce to get up and grab rebounds, but he does a good job positioning himself, gets a solid base, and is able to bend better than a lot of big guys. So he gets good leverage down there and can box out bigger, maybe stronger guys, but they can't get the leverage he does. Like, you see a lot of high-waisted guys that can't box out because they can't get low.
Often referred to as their butts too high.
High butt, I believe is what we call it. He does a really good job of that, and so I don't know. He's terrifying. I know people kind of, a lot of people are trying to find ways to push back on him. Like, I hear, oh, Twitter likes him too much.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you? Like, what has he done this season to be like, oh, no. Like, I think we all expect him to come back to Earth some. However, at this point, he doesn't have to play the five anymore, which is the best thing for him. Like, I think that was what, I mean, last year he played the five 42% of the time. He has no business doing that.
He's really not strong enough for that.
Yeah, and he's still putting up stupid numbers last year. This year, 95% of the time, he's at the four. Because they can put Oshik next to him and other guys. And I think that just makes him so much better because he doesn't have to deal with the side. I mean, everybody, when he was coming out of college, we all knew he was a power forward. And then they were kind of forced to play him at center last year. And now you move him back, and he's kind of gotten a little craftier. I think playing center is probably pretty good for him just because he had to operate down there, and so now he knows what he's doing when he's down there.
Mm-hmm.
But now he can also go back to what he's naturally good at, which is playing in space.
It also allows him to play a little more of sort of free safety almost on defense.
Oh, he's a roam.
Yeah, like knowing there's someone else behind him now instead of having to be the final line of defense.
Yeah, they went to some zone last night, and like he's just like literally running around the court, terrifying people. Like, when they were going to zone, he would just run to the ball side and then run back. They can't do that all the time, but
right. It's
terrifying. So, you expect him to come back to Earth a little bit, but I don't see any reason why this guy isn't your starting power forward in the Western Conference. If you're a Western Conference All-Star team right now, I mean, I don't see how it's not Boogie and Anthony Davis, front court.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Like, Duncan's not going to put up numbers.
Right.
Mark Gasol's, I don't think Mark Gasol's as good as Boogie right now.
I'm trying to think of anybody at those two spots that might give him a chance. I mean,
Ibaka?
No, him being on that team hurts right now.
Yeah, that's hurting him.
Durant's going to get voted in at the three, so.
Sure. But I just don't see where, and you know, Kobe's going to get voted in at the two.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Paul would be voted. I mean, Anthony Davis is playing way better than Blake Griffin is right now.
Oh, yeah. Blake Griffin's been pretty
mediocre.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing is, Blake might get voted in over him. He shouldn't, but just because everybody's, and, you know, Blake has
LA
a great PR team. He's got a great PR team. So that's been the weekly Anthony Davis hour. We'll come back to him next week. We were going to talk about something else. I don't know. Memphis? 10-1?
I didn't see that coming. I can't say I saw that coming.
Unstoppable? I mean, Marc Gasol's balling pretty good. He's out here having himself a year. I mean, they're just getting bounced. I mean, Courtney Lee? The hell? Like, Z-Bo? I mean, they're just balanced, and they're actually somewhat deep this year because they have, you know, Vince Carter on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Getting some production out of Kosta Koufos.
Gasol's getting shots up efficiently.
I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember they were really excited. They were really excited to get Kosta for nothing a couple years ago. My hashtag sources with Memphis.
They
were really excited about him. And, I know they love their John Lawyer. But, yeah, I mean, they're getting production. I think Vince Carter was a good pickup for him. But I didn't see 10-1. And they were just winning a lot of close games. They had that crazy Kings game that's under protest.
Right.
The Courtney Lee revival.
Mark Gasol is 30 already, and that kind of boggles my mind. Because it seems like he's only been in the league for like 5 years.
Well, that's because he has.
Well, I mean, I think it's been like 7 now. But either way, he came in late because...
Well, I mean, and also his first 2 years, he was playing for such a dog shit team that nobody really paid any attention to him.
Right.
So it feels like we've only really been watching him for a few years because Memphis was bad his first couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Courtney Lee is taking... is shooting 62% on threes.
Sure. Why not?
11 games into the season on 3 attempts a game. Just hoisting.
And of course, he had that
he had that oop against the
Kingdom. Courtney Lee.
Ballin'. The West is weird. Like, it's so good, but it's weird.
Are the Spurs still technically out of...
No, they're 6.
Okay, they're
I mean, yeah. They're back.
Well, it's not like I was thought they were going to miss it. It's just like I was wondering like who was going to end up falling out.
Oh my god, Spurs are missing the playoffs. Quinn Snyder is doing good things with Utah.
Yeah, they're looking pretty decent for a rebuilding team.
I got to plug my guy every week. The Clippers look bad. I mean, they're 5-4, but they don't look good.
So the current top 8 in the West are Memphis, Houston, Golden State, Portland, Dallas, New Orleans, Spurs, and Clippers.
Right.
And then the next two are Sacramento and Phoenix.
Yeah.
And then you still have, like, OKC down there. So...
Yeah.
For one of those three that aren't in to get in, who would you think is most likely to fall out?
Jeez. I mean, because the thing is, I think coming into the year, everybody was like, okay, Memphis is probably the team that goes out, but they're off to such a start.
And I thought... Golden State might have fallen out just because they thought they could have a new coach, but they're firing.
Steve Kerr's a hell of a coach.
They're firing.
Portland?
Portland's 8-3.
Probably the Pelicans. It's probably the Pelicans.
See, I would think that too, but then there's just a certain point where I'm thinking Anthony Davis might already be a top 3 player, and I'm not sure how with that. Like,
I hear you.
That's what makes it such a difficult decision. Otherwise, it looks like, oh, yeah, New Orleans. They're the younger team.
Okay, so the three teams I could see possibly falling out at this point would be Portland, just because I can see them going cold for, like, stretches. Like, they did that every once in a while last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just shoot a lot. Like, for me, they're a shooting team. They can go cold. Pelicans, just because you wonder about the depth there.
Right.
The Clippers... just because they look, and that's, speaking of depth, the Clippers have none. Like, Spencer Hall is playing hella minute.
And I can't remember who said it this morning, but they thought, like, the way with how Blake's playing, pretty terrible, by Blake standards at least. They were wondering, like, he said, like, he might have some sort of back injury, he's not sure, but I haven't seen much of Blake this year, so I wouldn't be able to...
I've watched some of the Clippers, but not enough to really speak to that. But
if either him or CP3 get hurt,
they're not deep. And if Blake isn't playing well, and it just still seems like him and DeAndre can't get on the same page and play long enough together in games, like Doc keeps having to do these weird lineup things. I don't. Maybe they're the ones that fall out. The West is just stupid competitive. Can we just throw them in the East? Let's just throw like 3 teams from there in the East, because the East is a dumpster fire. You have Toronto, Washington, Chicago, and Cleveland, and those are your good teams.
And you have Milwaukee as your 5 right now.
Milwaukee, Miami, Atlanta, and Orlando are currently rounding out a stout Eastern Conference playoff race. Like, I love the Hawks, but get them out of there if it means we get the Kings or the Suns or somebody in there. Like, get Milwaukee out. Orlando's the 8 seed, and they don't even have, like...
Oladipo missed. How many games did Oladipo miss?
I don't know, like 3 or 4.
Yeah, that's
not that many. And now Aaron Gordon's gone for like indefinite time with a foot. Tobias Harris is currently carrying a Magic team that is in the playoffs. That's what
all the Eagles played 3 games of their 12.
That's what's happening. Okay, yeah, so that's even worse.
Well, let me look at Orlando's. Like, who the how are they winning?
Tobias Harris.
Him and Bucci Mane.
Bucci Mane. Hey, so icy down on the block.
Evan Fournier is averaging 17
yeah,
on 12 shots.
Hurt. He's hurt. Orlando is going to be like 9 players deep and still be the 8 seed for a while because Brooklyn's garbage.
Oh, yeah, they're really bad.
That team's falling apart. It's 10 games in the season. Joe Johnson's trashing the team.
That was the best thing I've ever seen because I didn't know Joe could talk.
What? Here's, okay. Here's the thing. Joe played on some mediocre teams here in Atlanta. Like, mediocre teams. He played for a coach that was... He played for Mike Woodson. So, it's not like he was playing for a stout coach. I mean, although Mike just fed him the rock, so it probably kept Joe happy. But Joe never said anything even close to that. Like, Joe never criticized anybody in Atlanta that I can remember.
I can't.
We're 10 games in the season. He's just throwing people under the bus. Joe Johnson. We haven't even heard from the coach killer Darren Williams yet. Lionel Hollins is out here talking about how he needs to dig in and fight. He's not just going to roll over and die. You're 10 games in the season. What the hell are you talking about? Roll over and die? What the hell is this? Are you kidding me? The East is garbage after number 4. Like, I like the Hawks out of those teams. Like, I like the Hawks and Miami are the two teams, like, I think are borderline playoff caliber. But, like, the Hawks can't play defense right now. I don't know what the hell's going on with that.
No.
And, like, Milwaukee's not going to stay there, you wouldn't think. Although, like I said, the East is horrid. I don't know. Seriously, migrate. Like, OKC's close to the East. So is New Orleans.
Memphis is East, too. Like...
Memphis, there you go. Okay, so let's rearrange basketball.
Let's fix basketball here.
Again. So we move Memphis and New Orleans and OKC to the East. In exchange, we give the West Detroit, Indiana, and Milwaukee.
Done.
That would work.
Yeah.
And, like, Milwaukee, Detroit, Indiana are all further west than Memphis. Or at least close to further west. And, like, OKC is right in the middle there with everybody. Don't tell me this can't be done.
Yeah.
New Orleans is the... Look, how about this? If your state has an SEC team, you should be in the Eastern Conference. So...
Well, I mean, A&M kind of screwed
up. Memphis
and
New Orleans. Well, yeah. I mean, OKC... Like, everybody knows Bob Stoops wants to be in the SEC. We'll just bring Oklahoma with us.
Yeah.
Let's do that, and then we fix balance in basketball so we don't have to talk about how trash the East is anymore. Because, like, you just threw, like, three... I mean, Oklahoma City's not good now, but they will be.
What are you talking about, Robbie? Durant's leaving for somebody, like, as soon as he gets back.
Yeah, straight to Washington. Book his flight.
He's not even going to finish out his contract. As soon as he's not injured, just straight out of there.
As soon as he's not injured, he's going to Washington. As soon as Russ is healthy, he's going to Los Angeles.
Future Laker. #FutureLaker. Excuse me.
Future Laker Russell Westbrook. Future Laker Kevin Love. Okay, so let's do that. So once again, Robbie and Bo have to fix basketball. So there you go. Now we got a competitive. Now let's talk playoffs now. So if you do that, you're looking at Memphis, Toronto, Washington, Chicago, Cleveland, New Orleans, Miami, Milwaukee, Atlanta, and that's your 8, and then OKC eventually takes probably Milwaukee's gone, actually.
Yeah.
So OKC eventually, like, pops in there. Like, that's a solid playoff group.
Yeah.
And then in the West, you get Houston, Golden State, Portland, Dallas, San Antonio, LAC, Phoenix, and Sacramento. Like, that's what the people want.
Mm-hmm.
Give the people what they want, NBA. Fix this madness.
That's all we're doing here, Robbie. Just keep going.
I'm not trying to steal your catchphrase, Jalen. I promise.
Speaking of which, okay. This is all after we move Philadelphia and the Lakers to their own conference to play each other continuously.
Exactly. The Lakers. The Lakers conference. So, I mean, we cut it to 14 teams in each conference, plus the Lakers-Sixer conference. And then, yeah, no, it's perfect. Yeah. I don't see how this could go wrong. In any way, shape.
Perfect plan.
Perfect.
What's coming up,
though? I guess I could wrap it up with one more story.
Go for it.
All right. So, I think a lot of times we talk about, I could beat this guy one-on-one, or, we like to think that these guys are not good at basketball, but a reminder that anybody associated with the NBA is better than you at basketball. They used to let me shoot before Hawks games. I think this was before the Danny Ferry era, so it was just kind of the Wild West out there. So I'll just show up like before games and shoot on the floor before the opposing team came in. So sometimes I'd play horse against one of our player development guys, JB, and he would just beat me, like beat the shit out of me in horse, like every afternoon. Just mid-range jumpers. That's all he would do, is like practice shooting, like he'd go like 12 for 12, mid-range jumpers, and just knock me out. And so don't ever challenge anybody that works in the NBA to a game of horse, especially for money, because you will lose. Or they will sandbag you until you lose money. Like, they might let you keep it close the first game and then ask to put $20 on it. Don't do it. That is a trap. They just want to eat a little better on the road. And also, be careful if you are shooting in front of an NBA player, because they will make fun of you, as Mike Scott once did to me. I was shooting bows there.
Yeah.
And, I missed a shot. Yeah, I was shooting probably 50%. Not bad, not good.
Yeah, you're doing decent.
Right in the middle. I was making some. And Mike comes walking by, and, like, I miss one, and I just hear behind me, shots broke. And so I turn around and I decide I'm gonna try to be a badass, and so I like call for it, and Bo tosses me the ball, and I go, oh yeah, and brick another one, and he just gets like real close to me and just like in my ear goes, broke, and then walks away. Another time Ivan Johnson came out and tried to play me one on one, fucking terrifying, because he like started playing like press defense on me. And
I was impressed you kept your dribble. That was impressive, actually.
In my panic, because Ivan Johnson, like me and Ivan go back, we're cool. But it was kind of panicky because he's a very large individual, and he's like just like grabbed my arms, and so like instead of trying to like just face him up or something, I decided my best bet against Ivan Johnson was to try to back him down from the three-point line. No. Like, just no, you're not back. No one backs down Ivan Johnson. Like, what am I going to do? Like, so he literally, at one point, grabs my arms. Somehow, like Bo said, I kept my dribble. But he, like, grabs my arms and literally, like, physically picks me up and starts walking me out. And then I turned and shot, like, a turnaround three-pointer in this.
And if you don't know, Robbie's not a small dude either, so just like...
Not a small man.
Just pushing Robbie out is not
literally
an easy task.
Walking me out. I was like, if Ivan gets a hold of you, like, you're going where Ivan plans for you to go, which is probably a shallow grave. But yeah, so that's a lesson to all you people that think you're a baller. You're not, in comparison to anybody that works for an NBA ball club in any capacity of coaching or anything like that. Also, you don't want to play anybody involved that works for an NBA team in cards, because they play a lot. Bob Weiss will take your money.
Just also on that NBA player note, you shouldn't try to challenge them. the same note, Kentucky cannot beat the Sixers.
No.
Stop it. Stop. No. Anyway. They can't.
So, yeah. So, that's just a little word to the wise. You're not all that, and they're better than you at basketball. Challenge them to writing. Maybe you can beat them there. I don't even know how you would do that.
I challenge you to a writing off.
A write off. Like, just, like, do that. Because they will embarrass you or scare the hell out of you like Ivan Johnson. There you go. Knowledge darts. I think that'll do it for us this week. We'll be back at some point next week. You know, we try to do this on Sunday or Wednesday or whatever day Bo and I both have free time. So thanks for listening. And you can catch us over at the Podium Game, HP Basketball. Check out Bo's stuff over at Hawks Hoop. We'll try to be better next time.